Okay, today, Red Sea Rule number 9 is view your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. So view this current crisis, whatever it is you're going through, view it as a faith builder for the future. Like always, let's review where we are so far. Red Sea Rule number 1 is realize that God means for you to be where you are. No mistakes. God doesn't make any mistakes. So if you're in the midst of a crisis or a crisis is coming, God means that for you. Number 2, be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. A lot of times all we want to do is be done with it, but we should be more concerned for God's glory. Number 3, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Now we do have to realize that we do have an enemy. Of course, we know our enemy is the devil. Also the world and the flesh, but you know, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to recognize him, but we really need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Number 4, pray. Very simple, but often we don't do that. Number 5, stay calm and confident and give God time to work. Sometimes God works not on our timetable. So let's understand that. Number 6, when unsure, just take the next logical step by faith. When you don't know what to do, just do what you always do and do things by faith and just take that next logical step by faith. And then number 7, envision God's enveloping presence. Remember that God is always with us. He's very near. He's a help in time of trouble. And number 8, trust God to deliver in his own unique way. We learned last week that sometimes God does work miraculously. Sometimes he works through circumstances. And sometimes he works mysteriously. And then today, of course, view your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. So, we don't always know why God allows problems, but we do know he intends to use them to mature us and to deepen our faith. Trials and testings and troubles are like going to the gym for the soul. Okay? How many of you here go to the gym to work out? 2. Okay. 2 people. Well, imagine you go to the gym to work out, okay? And you go to the gym to work out and, you know, you're strengthening your physical body and you're building up your cardiovascular system. And so when troubles and testing and trials come to our life, it's kind of like going to the gym for the soul. They help to develop our spiritual strength and stamina. And our faith should grow stronger through the seasons of life. Our faith should grow stronger and stronger through these seasons of life. So notice with me the first point, number 1, exercise for the soul. Exercise for the soul. J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, started China Inland Missions, said, "I know he tries me only to increase my faith." So that's a good attitude to have when trials come our way. Trials, troubles, tribulation, they're going to come. We know that. And when they come, look at it as an opportunity to increase your faith. Too many people look at it as, "Oh, I'm in trouble again," or "God's mad at me. What did I do now?" You know, But we should look at them as faith builders. Don't answer this question out loud. Just think in your mind. And hopefully through these series of next 4 verses we're going to look at, we can build a detailed, amplified definition of faith. But what exactly is faith? What exactly is faith? Before we look at that, we didn't read our text, did we? Let's read our text before we look at that one. All right. Exodus 14. Verse 30, the Bible says, Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Of course, from verses 23 to 30, we have the account of Israel going into the Red Sea, following Israel went into the Red Sea. They walked on dry ground. The water was a wall to them on either side. They go through the Red Sea, and the cloud, the Shekinah glory, is there giving light to Israel to pass and blocking the Egyptians from coming. And then as God removes that cloud, what do the Egyptians do? They go into the sea. And God begins to slow them up, break their chariot wheels off, and then eventually the sea comes down upon them, and Pharaoh and his army are all destroyed. And the Bible says that Israel saw them lying dead upon the shore. So God did this great miracle, and it caused the people to fear the Lord and believe the Lord. So then what exactly is faith? Look at Luke 1. Luke 1 and verse 45. Luke 1, 45, the Bible says, And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So what exactly is faith? Well, number one, faith is believing that what the Lord said, He will accomplish. Okay? Faith is believing that what the Lord said, He will accomplish. So it's a faith, it's a belief in His Word. It's a belief in His ability to do what He said He would do. What else is faith? Look at Romans 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, the Bible's speaking here of Abraham, says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Faith is being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what He has promised. And Abraham never staggered in that. Abraham was an old man. His wife was an old woman. And they were well beyond the years of childbearing. But that didn't stop Abraham believing that God would do what he said he would do. Fully persuaded. Okay? Number three, turn back to the book of Acts. Acts 27. Verses 23 to 25. What exactly is faith? Acts 27, 23. For there stood, this is Paul, the night that he's on the ship, and remember his journey to Rome. There is a great storm, and they had to throw everything out of the boat, and 14 days they were in this storm. And all hope was lost, and Paul comes out and says in verse 23, For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So faith is believing that things will happen just as He told us. Okay? Just the way He told us. Faith is believing that. So we have to, again, faith. We're looking at all these different verses, and in a moment we'll put them all together and give a very detailed, amplified definition of what faith is. One more very popular verse. Hebrews 11:11. Hebrews 11:11. Says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So faith is considering him who has given the promise. So why did Sarah believe she was going to have a baby? Because she knew that God kept his promises. God kept his word. So we put all of these together. We put all of these verses together where we learn about Mary's faith, and we learn about Abraham's faith, and we learn about Paul's faith and Sarah's faith. And we put all these definitions together. And here's an amplified definition of faith. Faith is believing that what the Lord has said he will accomplish, being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised, is believing that things will happen just as he told us, because we consider him who has given the promise. So things will happen exactly as God has promised, because we trust and believe in the one, not only we trust and believe in the one who has made the promise, and we believe his promises. So think about it. There are so many promises in God's word for us, aren't there? He's promised to never what? Leave us or forsake us. He's promised he'd always be with us, he'd always care for us. And all of these things. But what do we forget sometimes when we're in a trial? We forget those promises. And again, if we go back to Red Sea rule number 3, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Sometimes the trial becomes so big that we lose sight of the Lord. And we're focused on the trial, the trouble, whatever it may be, the test, rather than keeping our eyes on the Lord. So for the Christian, faith is making reasonable assumptions about God's care and control over our lives based on his scriptural promises. You know, it's always good to find and claim a promise when you're going through a trial. Find and claim a promise of God. You know, and again, there may be different trials that cause you to claim different promises. But Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, said this: a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. You know, so faith needs to be tested. Our faith needs to be tested at times, and we need to use what happens in our life to build our faith. But sadly, sometimes when trials come to Christians' life, even it a lot of times destroys people's faith. And because trials come, you know, they run the other way. They don't use it as an opportunity to trust God. You know, we just want out of this trial. Just get me out of this trial. Or we're in the trial and we're doing it all the wrong way, and we're blaming God, and it just destroys our faith. It destroys maybe even our family's faith, people who are watching us and observing us, you know, and rather than viewing these trials as faith builders. Now, Jesus had a way where he could penetrate someone's heart when he was here, and it seemed like he could measure their faith. And he seemed interested, friends, as you read through, we'll see in some of these accounts, he seemed interested in the quantity of faith being exercised by those who crossed his path. Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Verse 10, this in the context, we have the centurion servant, and the centurion comes. He comes and he asks Jesus, "Would you heal my servant?" And Jesus said he would do it. And he says to Jesus, he says, "I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word, and I know that he'll be healed. I'm a man of authority. You're a man of authority. Just say the word, and I know my servant will be healed." And notice what Jesus says in verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Israel, who was Jesus' own nation, the people in his own nation didn't have the faith of this centurion. Who was a centurion? Romans, you know? And this faith that this Roman centurion had, Jesus said, "I haven't seen such great faith." This man had obviously heard about what Jesus had done and could do, and he believed it. And he trusted him. And he said, "Just say the word." Look at chapter 8, verse 26. So after this, Jesus he sends his disciples into the ship, and a great storm arises, and Jesus is asleep in the back, and they wake him up, and they're basically panicking, and they're saying, "Look, Lord, we're all going to die. Don't you care? And you're sleeping." And what does he say in verse 26? And he said unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of what? Little faith. O ye of little faith." Then he arose, of course, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So here we see Jesus marveling at the faith of the centurion and rebuking his own disciples for their little faith. They feared. They feared. Look at chapter 9, Matthew, verse 2. He entered into his ship, verse 1, and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And of course, he heals these. But he sees these folks bringing this man, and he noticed how what? Great their faith was. He noticed how great their faith was. And again, Jesus being concerned about the measure of our faith. One more, chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 28. Woman of Canaan comes to him and asks him to work in her life. And in verse 28, she says to him, "Even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She is not Jewish, and he said, "I've come to the nation of Israel." And then she says in verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as that will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So again, here's another woman who's not a Jewish person, and she realizes who Jesus is, and she asks Jesus to heal her daughter, and he said, "I'm not sent to your people." And she says, "Yeah, but just a little crumb. Just a little crumb." And he said about her what? Great was her faith, you know. So again, not only is it the size of our faith, but it's who our faith is in. Okay? You're only going to have a little bit amount of faith. Make sure that little bit of faith is in the Lord. And then ask Him to increase that faith, you know. And of course, Hebrews 11, 6, from that great chapter we read there before about Sarah But in Hebrews 11:6, the Bible tells us, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, of course, we know the importance of faith. We know the importance of faith when it comes to salvation. But faith is also important in our everyday life. And we need to have faith. Why is that? Because without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. How many of us want to please God? I hope we all want to please God. So if we want to please God, we have to have faith. And so faith, you know, it's exercise for our soul. When these trials and these tribulations and these testings come, we need to trust God. We need to believe God. We need to believe that He has not abandoned us. We're not here, our faith should not be shipwrecked, but we're here, you know, to grow. God wants us, our faith to grow, so that when the next trial comes, we enter that with more faith than we had the last trial. And our faith continues to grow and grow. Because friends, trials, testings, and troubles are going to come, aren't they? They're going to come. You know, like I've said before, don't, you know, stand at the front of the boat, on the mast of the boat and say, "Okay, troubles, come on, I'm ready for you." Don't do that. You know, they'll be there without having to do that. So let's look at the second point together, faith building. So we saw exercise for our soul, but now faith building. Matthew Henry says of our text in Exodus 14, he says, "This was done and recorded in order to encourage God's people in all ages to trust Him in great straits." I think it's pretty obvious that the children of Israel were in great straits. They were in trouble. They were, again, remember, just freed as slaves, just freed. They were there on the seaside enjoying their first vacation in 400 years, you know. They were cooking Hebrew national hot dogs over the fire, just enjoying some time, you know, suntanning and swimming and body surfing and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, what happened? Cloud of dust comes. And in that cloud of dust, they see and hear the Egyptians in their chariots approaching them. They have nowhere to run. God meant for them to be there, and He meant for this to build their faith. They've been slaves for a long time, and God did a mighty work here, and we need to remember that. So that's why that's recorded for us. That's recorded for us to see, wow, look what God did for them. My problem is not that big. You know, if God can do that for Israel, my little problem, He can handle. And that's putting your faith in God. Faith is not something also, friends, understand this. Faith is not something that we can muster up at will. Oh, I need more faith, so I'm just going to muster up more faith. It's not really how it works. It's given by God and developed according to the processes He has ordained. After all, God is the God who grows things. I mean, what, you know, as Christians, we grow in the Lord. As His church grows numerically, and it grows, you know, through our sanctification. And God is the God who grows things. Look what the disciples said in Luke 17. I am not exaggerating. This short little prayer is a prayer of mine very often, and I hope it's a prayer of yours also. So Jesus is speaking to them about forgiveness and faith. And, you know, He says, if your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. But if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So, you know, in the context of a brother, you know, sinning against us and coming to us and asking us to forgive him, we need to forgive him. Even if he comes seven times in one day. And what is the disciples' response? Lord, increase our faith. You know, we need to have our faith increased. We need to increase our faith. You know, we have lived in a country that we have been blessed to live in, and things have been, you know, for the Christian, pretty easy in our country compared to the rest of the world. You know, the tide is beginning to turn. And, you know, trials and tribulations are coming. And we need to be ready for that. And we need to ask the Lord to increase our faith. Look at Mark. Turn back one book. Mark chapter 9. Verse 24. So here is a father whose son is possessed by a demon, and the demon takes him and throws him in the fire and does all kinds of bad things to his son. And Jesus asked the father, how long has he been like this from a child? And I know that you can do anything, he says. And Jesus says in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, verse 24, and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. How many times have we prayed in our prayers? Lord, do this, or, you know, I know you can do this, and this is a difficult situation. I know you can do it. And you lay it out in prayer. You believe it. And then you get up from your prayer, you walk away, and you begin to doubt what you just prayed. Lord, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. There's a lot of times that unbelief begins to take control. And you know, the logical wheels begin to spin in our head rather than the faith wheels, you know. Lord, I'm praying for this person's salvation, but Lord, you don't know this guy. He's a tough case, you know. Well, Paul's already been saved, and he said he was the what? Chiefest of sinners. God already saved the worst. So, he might be the second worst, but God already has saved the worst. So, our faith must grow. You know, when we enter the Lord's family as a child of God, and we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and what He has done for us, you know, the Bible says all we need is childlike faith to believe. But after we're saved, we begin to need wheelbarrows full and truckloads full of faith to live this Christian life and to grow. So our faith must grow. And how does our faith grow? Well, God bestows truth. It's kind of like school. How many of you liked school? Well, a few of you, more than went to the gym, so that's good. How many of you liked tests? See, tests were important because what were tests to prove? How well you knew the subject. You know? So God bestows truth to us. And then He devises tests to reinforce and to review that truth. And He may say, okay, you've learned this. Now here's a test. Let's see if you can apply my promises to your problem. My promises to your problem. You know, at church or in our devotions, we hear the Word of God preached. We read the Word of God in our devotions, in Sunday school, and and we feed on the Scriptures, then the Lord sends trials into our lives to give us opportunities to put His promises and teachings into practice. The problem is, we don't like tests. We don't like tests. We don't want to be tested. You know? We don't want to be tested. And let me say something, friends. All God's tests are open book. He encourages you to go to the book. Okay? He encourages you. So let's, you know, not, again, not desire trials to come. They're going to come. But when they come, let's believe God. And let's trust Him. Let's acknowledge Him and remember His presence. He's always with us. Always. But we want that easy chair life, right? We want to sit back in our recliner and just cruise down Easy Street. Never going to grow, friends. You're never going to grow. And for the child of God who wants that kind of life, who, when trials come, hides from them, you know, they're never gonna have victories. Thank God for His grace, but you know, the victories and then a lot of catastrophes happen and things happen with the family. And so the Lord sends trials in our lives to give us opportunities to put His promises and teachings into practice. And as we trust Him and pass the tests, our faith is strengthened for the future. Now, I didn't get too many A's in school, but man, when I got an A on the test, whew, it was just like, yeah, felt good, you know. And got you through to the next test, you know. And so understand that. Now, a biblical principle. Our faith grows when we choose to apply God's promises to today's problems and use the experience to mature us for tomorrow's challenges. Don't worry about tomorrow. You haven't made it through today yet. Okay? Get through today. Trust God today. And then tomorrow, you'll be prepared for whatever comes your day. You know, isn't it amazing, friends? You never know what a day may bring. Right? You never know. Today, things are going good. Tomorrow, you're laying flat on your face. You never know what a day may bring. This is why, friends, the Bible is so full of promises. I have a little book in my library, and it's called The Bible Book of Promises. And it just lists every single verse that is a promise of God. Great little book. Great little, you know. And those are promises that we need to cling to. Cling to. In the 1600s, there was a Puritan named Thomas Watson. And he said this: faith lives in a promise as fish live in the water. He goes on to say, the promises of God are bladders. What he means by bladders, we would say flotation devices. The promises of God are bladders to keep us from sinking when we come to the waters of affliction. So, as he says, visualize this for a minute. Faith lives in a promise just like fish live in a water. So if we're in the waters of affliction, those promises of God are life, like our life buoys that keep us afloat in those afflictions. Trials are going to come, troubles are going to come, and we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. So, Red Sea Rule number 9, view your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. Faith, then, is simply finding and claiming the promises of God in every situation. And based on those promises, making logical assumptions and being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what He has promised. I mean, who else but God could say, I will never leave you or forsake you? You know? Who else but God could say, you know, when the waters come upon you, I'll be there? Who else but God could say, as we learned from Nick's message last week, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they bring me comfort. So, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And friends, if you're not in the Word, you're not going to know these promises. You know, if you're not concerned about your spiritual life, and you're not in the Word, and you're not in church listening to messages, and when troubles and trials are come, they're going to be severe, and they're not going to build your faith. And that's why so many people, I believe, abandon the Lord. Because they just let, rather than letting the trials make them better, they allow the trials to make them bitter. They get angry at God or the situation or whatever it may be. So next week, number 10, the last one, in all of this. Now think about this. The trial, as we read today, the trial was over for Israel, right? They looked out on the shore and there was their enemy all laying dead on the shore. God had destroyed them. And so they made it through the trial, and they believed God. Next week we'll look at, don't forget to praise Him. When you come out the other side, and your faith has been increased, don't forget to praise God. And we'll see the song of Moses next week and Israel in praising God. But too often we don't get to the other side. And remember, even when Jesus sent the disciples alone, right, into the sea, not the one that we looked at today, but He sent them alone into the sea when He came walking on the sea. What did He say? I'll see you on the other side. There's always the other side. Okay? We're going to get there. It may be a rough journey. Okay? Maybe a lot of turbulence in your flight. You may have to bail a little bit. You know, you may get seasick along the way, like some of you do on the fishing trip. I won't mention any names. But there's always the other side. Sometimes the Lord is in the boat with us, and sometimes the Lord comes walking in the midst of the storm right to us, but He's always with us. Don't forget that. Any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns? Going through some trials? We all are. Trust God. You know, keep your eye on Him, not on the storm. And we'll get through to the other side. Yes, Barbara.